Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, it is one of the traditions of World Science Forum to host the award ceremonies of two of the most reputable international scientific prizes. Tonight, we will have the pleasure to award this year's edition of the UNESCO Kalinga Prize for the Popularization of Science and the UNESCO Sultan Qaboos Prize for Environmental Conservation. Without any further delay, we are already, I think, 30 minutes late, something like that. So please be with us, stay with us. Allow me to welcome to the stage, she's still here, Dr. Shamila Nair Badouel, the Assistant Director General for Natural Sciences of UNESCO, who will officially announce the laureate of the 2019 UNESCO Kalinga Prize for the Popularization of Science.
Thank you, sir. Excellencies, since its foundation, UNESCO has attached much great importance to the popularization of science as to science itself. The UNESCO Kalinga Prize is UNESCO's oldest prize. It was created in 1951, before I was born, actually, thanks to a donation from Mr. Bojanak Patnaik, who founded the Kalinga Foundation Trust in India, to reward excellencies in the popularization of science. As such, it is a strong symbol of the organization's commitment, UNESCO, and continuous efforts to disseminate scientific knowledge in addressing sustainable development challenges for the benefit of societies. Every 2 years, the prize rewards the exceptional efforts of a personality who has led a distinguished career in interpreting and communicating science to the greater public as a writer, a lecturer, or a media host. How timely is this here today as we talk about ethics, responsibility of science. Along with the Kalinga Foundation Trust, the prize is now also sponsored by the Government of India and the Odisha State Government. I wish to take this opportunity on behalf of UNESCO and its Director General to express UNESCO's gratitude to each of them for their faithful support. A scientifically literate society is one able to use and openly access the advances of science, harness its benefits, and understand its insights. As UNESCO dedicates itself to opening up science to society, the original intention of UNESCO's oldest prize is ever more than ever relevant today. An open and accessible science does not only entail increasing scientific collaboration and access to networks, scientific data, but it also means to promote the scientific culture, the science of culture and the culture of science, and involve citizens, communities, and policymakers. The instrumental role of science in achieving the SDGs, the Sustainable Development Goals, calls for strengthening the links between science and society. It is for the exceptional efforts that we pay tribute to those who are committed to contribute to the popularization of science. I, coming from South Africa and the mountains of the Drakensberg, have only benefited from all of these popularization of science, and hence I'm humbled to stand here in front of you here today. One person is our laureate tonight, and it is now my honor to announce the 2019 UNESCO Kalinga Prize for the Popularization of Science has been awarded to Karl Krusnalicki from Australia. Dr. Krusnalicki's unique ability to turn scientific research into educational and entertaining stories, telling narratives, has been the main driver of his career as a science popularizer. Dr. Krusnalicki, works with science outreach for the younger generations. His high school presentations on science, technology, engineering, mathematics, what we call the STEM careers, are highly sought after, not only in Australia, but across the world. He's especially well known for his weekly radio and TV programs, making science cool, accessible, understandable, and worthwhile for generations of listeners and children, hence encouraging the creativity in children to want to seek our science. His engagement in social media is unique. In the field of science, popularization has made him a chosen favorite of younger generations. We all need to learn from you, Dr. Krishnaliki. As of November, he had more than 77,000 followers on Instagram, more than 314,000 followers on Twitter, and tens of thousands of views on YouTube. His whole career, Dr. Krishnaliki, has strived to embed his approach to science popularization in today's world, to find adequate tools to reach out to his audience, meaning every one of us here today. Dr. Carl Krishnaliki, on behalf of the Director General of UNESCO, Madam Audrey Azoulay, I commend you for your long-running dedication to the popularization of science, for your outstanding contribution to making science accessible, easy, understandable, and a want for all using all means available. We congratulate you for your work in making our world a better place. We might note that this is the first time that the prize is awarded to an Australian nominee. For a lifetime of achievements, I am honored on behalf of the Director General of UNESCO, United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization, to award you the 2019 UNESCO Kalinga Prize for the Popularization of Science. And it is with distinct pleasure that I invite you to the stage, Dr. Carl Krishnaliki.
Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, we now have the pleasure and honor to welcome Dr. Carl Krishnaliki to the stage and laureate of the 2019 UNESCO Kalinga Prize. Congratulations to you.
A real Aussie.
Thank you. I'll just wander over here and start the show going. Can you switch my projector onto the screen? Here we go. Here's some footage I shot down in Antarctica a little while ago. I think it should really be used as a backdrop for some sort of U2 footage. Anyway, I'm deeply honoured to have been awarded the Kalinga Prize for the Popularisation of Science in 2019. My name is Carl Krishnaliki, which is impossible to pronounce, so I go under the name of Dr. Carl. I come from a time when Australia thought that education was a worthwhile investment in the future, and therefore I've had 28 years of education, all of it for free. 16 years, 12 years at school, and 16 years at university in physics and mathematics and engineering, where I designed and built a machine to pick up electrical signals off the human retina, and several years studying medicine and surgery, where I worked as a doctor in the children's hospital. And I also took on some free years of extra education just to round me off in computer science, astrophysics, philosophy, and electrical engineering. But I've also worked in the real world as a taxi driver, a car mechanic, a TV weatherman for 1.5 years. And has anybody heard of the musician Bo Diddley? I was a roadie for Bo Diddley for a couple of years. So, the popularisation of science. Well, you covered it all here, TV, all the time on TV, radio all the time around the world on the BBC, shows to the general public in the United Kingdom, and I've just lost my connection. Can you get that back again? Here we go. And there we go again. Any minute now, here it comes. And so I also do shows with the general public in the United Kingdom and in Australia. I do my regular Christmas Royal Institution shows there, and high schools shows around Australia, and go out there 12 times a year as well. In print, 45 books, regular monthly columns in various newspapers. On the internet, I do 2 science question and answer sessions around the world, usually in Australia. And in only a century, I will get through every single school in Australia. 4 sets of different podcasts on the internet. And, of course, you mentioned that other Twitter sort of stuff as well. I work for the Australian Broadcasting Corporation as well as for the University of Sydney, and this is the official logo. How did I get there? How did my path begin? Well, I began as a young man in school, and you can recognise me as the tall, handsome man there in the front row. No, I'm the little tiny one in the front. Then I grew into a young man with rather disarmingly high pants, and I'm not too sure why that woman is leaning like this. At the Steelworks, I became a physicist at the age of 19. I did some of the first music television videos in Australia. For a while, I became a flower-munching hippie. And I also am proud to say, but with regret, that I am indeed a failed astronaut. I wrote to NASA saying, can I be an astronaut? And they wrote back saying, look, we're all full up. Anyway, we only employ Americans, nothing personal. I almost invented the hipster mode, and for several years, for half a decade, I worked as a taxi driver. Would you trust this man to drive you anywhere? And I spent several years with my wife and my children exploring 15 of the 17 deserts in Australia. And this is our vehicle. And my only previous international award ever was the Ig Nobel Prize, which you can see here on the document. They've misspelt the word interdisciplinary. They left out the L, as in fact has the Australian government on the $50 banknote. If you look at the very tiny printing over here, they have left out the word responsibility. They've left out the letter I. How many times have they done it? 46 million times. Every single Australian banknote, $50 bill, has that on it. So getting back to why do I get belly button fluff and why is always blue, for which I won my international previous honour of the Ig Nobel Prize. Well, we collected samples of belly button fluff from around the world. Little samples, big samples. And this is very important for you. This next piece of information is incredibly important to anybody who wants to have a career in science. Anything, no matter how boring, always looks better if you look at it under an electron microscope. So we looked at the belly button fluff under electron microscope, and we found our great discovery that belly button fluff is basically the fibres of your clothing held together by the fat in your dead skin cells. And why is it almost always blue? Because blue is your average colour of your clothing. There is no such thing as a black dye. It is a mixture of dark green and dark blue. However, if you wish to wear entirely red clothing, including to your underwear and socks, you will generate red belly button fluff. The popularisation of science is a good career. I have found it to be an excellent career. I stopped being a doctor in the kids' hospital when, after a period of 20 years with zero deaths from whooping cough, we had the first death from whooping cough because of the anti-vaccination. And that's why I went into the media, because I could do more good for it. There is a need for science popularisation. You do not expect a plumber to also be a chef. Why should you expect a scientist to also be a journalist? There is a role for people like me to be a journalist to explain, with my broad background, exactly what the scientists are doing. It's a better career than a musician because many, but not all, musicians run out of creativity after about 10 years, which is not a problem for those doing science popularisation, because the scientists are always making amazing new discoveries all the time. So there are always new science stories to tell all the time. Somebody has to speak for the scientists, especially as you have alluded to today with the fake news. Einstein came up with relativity. He did not have any organised hate mail. Fleming came up with penicillin, no suspicious packages in the mail. Newton, a genius, had no repeated death threats. And yet, the climate scientists do. So I dedicate the 2019 Kalinga Prize to the climate scientists who take the heat for all of us.
Thank you very much. Who says that science is boring?
Yeah.
No. Not at all.
Oops. You will stay here? Okay. Yeah, yeah. No, I'm just joking. So,
yes.
Tug of war.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Sort of.
We didn't rehearse this bit. Thank you.
Thank you.